whenever we are becoming frustrated or fearful, or we are we're leaning too much on our own strength or wisdom, if we pause and recognize we've lost the presence of God, it's not that God left, but we stop recognizing that he's there and that we aren't keeping our eyes on him. You know, we're like St. Peter on the waves. If we just keep our eyes on Jesus, we're fine. But when we start to be distracted by other things, that's when we sink. Well, hello and welcome back to Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Groda, here at the Coming Home Network International. And once again, we have this opportunity to carry on this continuing discussion about our journey with Jesus Christ. The journey is really what this show is about. You know, here at the Coming Home Network, we connect with people who the place in the journey that they're at, they're considering becoming Catholic or returning to the Catholic Church. And you may be familiar with the Journey Home program on EWTN, where we interview people and share their stories of how they discovered the Catholic Church. But our focus on this show is the journey itself, right? Because even for those people who are becoming Catholic, that is one piece of the journey. But each of us is called by God, created by God, on this journey of returning to him, of being healed and transformed in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the journey's long, and it's different for all of us. Each of us has this great story that God's put us in. But the journey itself is a continual part of a Christian's life, studying that, understanding that, getting better at it. And what do we mean by the journey? Well, we think of things like prayer, the journey of prayer. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, I think it's quoting St. Teresa of Lisieux, that prayer is the relationship with God. Prayer isn't the means to the relationship. Prayer is the relationship with God. This relationship with God and the journey of prayer, getting better at it, going deeper in it, moving more from active prayer to this passive receptive prayer, this contemplative prayer, there's a journey there. And that's a key part of the journey. There's the journey in virtue. I've talked a lot about virtue and vice in the show, and I'm going to continue to do so, going back over the structure of virtue and vice, understanding our own psychology, our own spiritual psychology, how we grow, how we develop, how our habits change, how we deal with vices, how we deal with challenges and temptations. That's a journey too. And it's a journey that, you know, we take it step by step, but all throughout our life, we are taking it step by step, receiving God's grace and turning that grace into our free choices, our decisions, those decisions that allow God's grace to transform us into the image of Christ. We also have the journey of vocation, that God's put us all in this journey of prayer and of growth in virtue, our moral journey. But then we have a specific calling. You know, you and I have specific things that God has put us on this earth to do. And so the discernment of those things, carrying them out, getting better at carrying them out, that's part of the journey as well. So on this show, on Deep in Christ, here at the Coming Home Network International, wherever you might be in your journey to the Catholic Church, you know, in your relationship with the Catholic Church, maybe you're thinking about becoming Catholic, maybe you're asking questions, maybe you're in RCIA, maybe you became Catholic and you're now still trying to find your place in this church, you're trying to figure out what's next in the journey. Well, this show is about that journey, because the key is that wherever we are on the journey with the Catholic Church, we have to just keep taking one step at a time with Christ. If we stay close to him, if we stay deep in Christ, he'll lead us onward. So this show's about the journey, and I'm really glad to be here with you to talk about the journey. This is what Christians do. We get together, we talk about the good things that the Lord has done in our lives. We talk about, hey, what's going on? What's new? What's next? What's God calling to you next in your life? What challenges are you facing? What wins have you had? What blessings have you had that we can be grateful for, that we can celebrate together? Christians get together and talk about the journey in Christ. And so glad to be here doing that with you. A special shout out to all the members of the Coming Home Network online community. You know, if you are somebody on the journey to the Catholic Church or a new convert, if you check out chnetwork.org/something, I don't remember, go click on community there. You'll find we have a very active online community of journeyers and converts and inquirers who are, you know, journeying together, you know, learning about the church, learning about prayer, learning about their faith. We get together on Fridays for a Friday fellowship call, you know, where we share what's new in the journey, and we pray together. So check that out. Check out the online community. And of course, reach out to us at chnetwork.org. If you're on the journey, we'd love to hear your story. We'd love to pray with you and for you as that continues onward. So today, I wanted to talk a little bit about that prayer pillar. You know, all the topics on this show, both individual topics that I talk about on my own, as well as when we have guests, usually are going to fall into those one of those pillars, you know, prayer, virtue, vocation. There's a few other categories we might put in there, but that covers a lot of the aspects of the journey that that we face as a Christian. Today, I wanted to talk about the sign of the cross. Okay, I was writing about this recently in the Coming Home Network newsletter that you can sign up for at chnetwork.org. But I wanted to reflect a little bit about the sign of the cross. You know, if you're a Catholic, if you're a lifelong Catholic, then this is something you learned as a child. You've been doing for years. You know, it's just part of the rhythm of your life to make the sign of the cross before you pray or before meals or as part of the liturgy. If you're a convert to the Catholic Church, then you perhaps learned it later in life. You picked it up. You learned it. It probably was a little weird at first, and then you got used to it. Now it's part of your life. If you're one of the many members of the Coming Home Network who's in RCAA or somewhere else along the journey thinking about becoming Catholic, then maybe this is something very new to you. Maybe depending on your background, you've never made the sign of the cross. Maybe you even come from a background where you prayed a lot. Prayer was an important part of your life, but maybe the bodily aspect of prayer wasn't a big focus or emphasis for you and your community. You know, wherever you might be, one of the key things about the journey is that it's not most of the journey, most of our journey as Christians is not about learning more and more and more and more about Jesus, about discovering new and novel truths as we go. There's some of that. Certainly, we learn about the church, we learn about Christ. But the discovery of continually new stuff, I wouldn't say is the most important facet of the journey. I think as we proceed in our spiritual journey with God, a whole lot of it is just this continual discovery and application and eventually kind of forgetting and then relearning simple old truths of the universe, of ourselves, of the faith, of our Lord. And so, you know, I think many milestones on the spiritual journey are just rediscovering, reexamining something very simple, something very familiar, but recognizing a new depth and clarity about that thing. So today, you know, the sign of the cross, it's a very simple prayer, a very simple sacramental aspect of the Catholic Church. It's something that the culture readily identifies with Catholics, you know, in movies and music, you know, or sports teams out on the field. I guess, you know, other people, you know, make the sign of the cross these days. But it's identified as a Catholic thing to make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Catholics do this as a kind of a prelude, a pre-prayer when they're going to say other prayers. But also, you know, historically, from the early days of the church, not only has the prayer been prayed, but it's been seen as a way to bring prayer, to bring the presence of God into everything we do as Christians. In fact, I'm going to read a quote from Tertullian, the early church father, and living and writing in the second century. He writes, "At every forward step and movement, at every going in and out, when we put on our clothes and shoes, when we bathe, when we sit at table, and when we light the lamps on seat, in all the ordinary actions of daily life, we trace upon the forehead the sign." And you can find other quotes like this from the early church, from saints, just talking about how Christians have used the sign of the cross in different formats and gestures since the early days of the church as this small, simple act of prayer, not just with our lips, with our whole body, is bringing it into this act of prayer that we do at all aspects of our lives. Certainly, we make the sign of the cross as Catholics when we are preparing to pray. But oftentimes, throughout the history of the church, you know, Catholics may make the sign of the cross at a moment of challenge, at a moment of turmoil, when beginning a project, or in all sorts of circumstances, simply to bring kind of awareness to the presence of God. So I want to think through a little bit today some aspects of it. The sign of the cross is a sacramental, what that means. The sign of the cross is body language, I think. Sometimes people coming to the Catholic Church, you know, are sort of put off by the movements, the Catholic calisthenics, as we jokingly call it. But there's a lot to that. And then just, you know, reflect a little bit about the practice of it and the practice, the journey of prayer and how we have a journey, in any individual type of prayer as we learn it, as we get used to it, as we go deeper in it. And that's the case with the sign of the cross as well. So, the sign of the cross is what we would call a sacramental in the Catholic Church. So it's not one of the seven sacraments. The sacraments are specific signs instituted by God, given to us through the church, by which the Lord uses visible signs, visible means of imparting invisible grace. And so in the seven sacraments, they all have a visible material aspect, which is important and necessary for the sacrament. But those physical things, they are signs of a deeper reality of what's really happening that we can't see necessarily with our eyes. So in baptism involves water. You always got to have water with baptism. In baptism, the priest or the person baptizing speaks the words of baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there's the visible material aspect that's a sign of what's going on spiritually, that in baptism we are forgiven our sins, we are incorporated into the body of Christ. And so the sacraments all have this, the sacraments proper, the seven sacraments, all have this aspect, you know, that they have the visible signs of the invisible grace. And another thing, you know, that's helpful to think about in this regard, for Catholics who've kind of been around this all their life, as well as for non-Catholic Christians who are perhaps coming from a less sacramental worldview, is the sacramental worldview of the Catholic Church. Behind the specific doctrines and teachings about the sacraments is this sacramental worldview, this belief that God chooses to work through people and things to impart grace. It's not because of my prayer, of any power that I have, any power in the words themselves, but because of God's grace, because of his choice that he works through things and people and their actions, right? We think of this, you know, in the New Testament, the incarnation and all the events and actions surrounding it being this preeminent example. God chose to work through a specific person at a specific time and a specific place through Mary, right? Through her yes, through her acceptance of God's grace, of his plan, to bring about in her physically the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God chooses to work through his creation. All of creation is sacramental in the general sense that we're going to talk about in a moment, in that it has the potential to impart grace, to reveal God. Creation is pregnant with the presence of our Lord. That's just the kind of universe, just the kind of world we live in, because God created it that way. And then in the sacraments themselves that Christ gives us through the church, in these more specific, these preeminent ways, we have, again, these visible signs of invisible grace, these ways that God, in a special way, comes close to his people, imparts grace, imparts healing, imparts nourishment, imparts forgiveness. So the sacraments do this in a preeminent way, but all of creation is sacramental in a more general sense. They imitate the sacraments. They resemble the sacraments. They aren't the sacraments themselves, but all of creation is sacramental in that if we scratch the surface just a bit, we find God there. So sacramentals are this concept in the Catholic Church of holy objects, signs, gestures, in the case of the sign of the cross, that we bring in consciously, intentionally into our prayer. And again, they're not the seven sacraments. They don't impart grace at that level in that degree. But they do resemble the sacraments, and they do act in a minor way like that. You know, when I have a holy book, I have this notebook here I always have with me on the show. It's my brother, Father Peter Grodi, made this for me. He does leather working. And he made this for my notebook. I use it as part of my prayer life. And he made this for me. He inscribed, he kind of burnt the beautiful cross in here. He blessed it, you know. And because of the blessing, because of the intentionality, because this is part of my prayer life, it's a sacramental. We would call it a sacramental in the Catholic Church. Again, not because of this in itself, and not because of me, but because of God and how he chooses to work through his creation, sacramentals do have a sort of power. So the sign of the cross is an example of one of these sacramentals, right? The words that we say, again, intending them as a prayer, as an invocation of the names, the holy names of the Trinity, and also through the gesture of making the sign of the cross through our bodies, in and through our bodies. Now, as it was mentioned in that quote from Tertullian earlier, this has looked different in different ages of the church, in different parts of the church, different parts of the world. But also, as he mentions here, you know, in the early days of the church, you know, he mentions tracing on the forehead the sign. And that is part of some rites of the Catholic Church. That's a gesture I use when I bless my children when they're going to bed at night. I bless them on their foreheads in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The sign of the cross these days typically refers to, again, this gesture of touching the forehead, the abdomen, the left shoulder, and the right, tracing the cross on one's body as we say the words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the functions of the sacramental, in addition to being a prayer, invoking the presence of God, becoming aware of the presence of God, because God's always present. It's a question of whether we make ourselves aware of that. But another function of it is simply as a memorial of our baptism, remembering our identity, remembering that we are children in the body of Christ, that we have been incorporated into that body, we've been forgiven of our sins, and now we are living as sons and daughters of God in that way. Let me read a little bit from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So this is paragraph 2156. The sacrament of baptism is conferred in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, the Lord's name sanctifies man, and the Christian receives his name in the church. This can be the name of a saint, that is, of a disciple who has lived a life of exemplary fidelity to the Lord. The patron saint provides a model of charity. We are assured of his intercession. The baptismal name can also express a Christian mystery or Christian virtue. Parents, sponsors, and the pastor are to see that a name is not given which is foreign to Christian sentiment. And now 2157, specifically about the sign of the cross. The Christian begins his day, his prayers, and his activities with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The baptized person dedicates the day to the glory of God and calls on the Savior's grace, which lets him act in the Spirit as a child of the Father. The sign of the cross strengthens us in temptations and difficulties. So it's a great little section, again, talking about the sign of the cross in the life of the Christian. It's interesting to have this bit about the sign of the cross in the section on the Christian name and connected to baptism. Because, again, if we examine simply just the words, the simple invocation here, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's great power in the name of God, in the name of the names of the divine Trinity, the divine persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what an interesting expression there, in the name, to begin prayer, to begin an activity, to enter into a difficulty, placing ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's great power in the name. And that's why, again, interesting in this section, Christians, as part of baptism, take the giving of the Christian name, giving of the name, as a sacred thing as well. You know, when we name our children, when we give them their name. Actually, I'm going to read a little bit further there in the Catechism, just one more paragraph in that section on the Christian name, because it's interesting here. The name one receives is a name for eternity. In the kingdom, the mysterious and unique character of each person marked with God's name will shine forth in splendor. To him who conquers, I will give a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no one knows except him who receives it. Then I looked, and lo, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Those are obviously, you know, excerpts from the book of Revelation. But again, very interesting here, thinking about the power of the name, to live in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To be given your own name that will be with you for eternity in some sense, but also that in Scripture there's this reference to being given a white stone with a new name. There's a lot about names here, names as an icon of the person, names as having the power to invoke connect you with the person in a certain spiritual way that's mysterious and we don't understand. But certainly in this case, in the case of the sign of the cross, the power is clear. The power comes not from us. It's from God, that he chooses to make himself present to us, and we can call upon him. Again, he's always present to us. But a big part of the practice of the Christian life is simply getting better at recognizing, remaining ever aware of his presence. A favorite writer of mine, again, a classic work in a spiritual work in the life of the church, is Brother Lawrence's Practice of the Presence of God. This is a very old work, hundreds of years old at this point, but it's become a spiritual classic for a reason. It's a very small little book, just some of the letters and writings of Brother Lawrence. And it's referred to, the book is The Practice of the Presence of God. He popularized, again, in his small way, this simple practice of, in his own description, he was just a simple man, and he didn't have the brains or the patience for a lot of the more complicated spirituality that he was exposed to in the church. And so as he described it, he simply practiced the presence of God throughout the day. Whatever he was doing, whether at prayer or at his work or with other people, he would practice keeping cognizant in his mind, keeping aware of the presence of God. And whenever his mind would wander, as he would describe, you know, he would just simply bring it back to the reality that whatever he's doing, whatever he's speaking, whatever work he's doing, whatever prayer he's praying, obviously, he's doing in the presence of God. It's a great work. It's a great reminder, because that really is, you know, it's one of those simple truths that we have to learn and forget and relearn 1,000 times in the Christian life. That whenever we are becoming frustrated or fearful, or we are we're leaning too much on our own strength or wisdom, if we pause and recognize we've lost the presence of God, it's not that God left, but we stop recognizing that he's there and that we aren't keeping our eyes on him. You know, we're like St. Peter on the waves. If we just keep our eyes on Jesus, we're fine. But when we start to be distracted by other things, that's when we sink. And so the sign of the cross, as this sacramental in the life of the church, it's a great way to practice the presence of God. Certainly when we are beginning to pray, it's a great way to bring our minds and our bodies together, to focus on who we're speaking to invoke the name of the Lord, to place our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But in other circumstances as well, you know, when we begin an activity, when we're struggling, we have a difficulty, it's a simple prayer that helps us to practice the presence of God, to recognize that all we do is in the name of God. It's the question of whether we're intentionally doing that. Another thing I like to think about in terms of the sign of the cross, but also other gestures in the life of the Catholic Church, we think of in the Mass, like genuflecting to before the tabernacle that contains the Holy Eucharist, or the standing and sitting in Mass, or even kneeling to pray, or even the simple gesture that I think we're all familiar with of folding one's hands to pray, right? What do these gestures mean, and why do we do them? Well, one aspect of them is that they're body language, right? When we pray with words, whether, you know, rote prayer, you know, a prayer that somebody else has written that we are reciting and then saying amen to, right? Or perhaps we're praying with our own words. We're praying from the heart to our Lord. But words aren't the only way we communicate. We also communicate with our bodies, right? If I'm home speaking to my wife and I say, I love you, well, that's good. But what am I doing with my body while I'm doing that? You know, often when I'm home with my family, you know, I might be kind of sitting, you know, lazily on the couch, you know, or I'm not looking at the person who is speaking to me or that I'm speaking to. Our body communicates our spirit. I mean, that's the function of the body. You know, God gives us the gift of our body because the body is the sacrament of the person. It is the visible sign of the invisible reality of our soul. So our body is how we communicate what's going on in here. And we do that with our words, but we also do that with the rest of our body. And so, again, the sign of the cross is body language. Certainly, I say the words with my mouth in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But I use my body also as another way to communicate. You know, I trace the cross on my body. It's body language, it's communication to God, right? So I'm matching what I'm saying with my mouth to what I'm doing with my body. You know, I'm bringing my body into my prayer. It's also a sign to other people, you know, and this is important, you know, when we worship together, that we show together by our bodies that what we are saying, we really believe. How do we show that? We show that by also, you know, acting it out with our bodies, by genuflecting, by bowing, by kneeling, by folding our hands. This is really important to me as a parent, right? I tell my kids what we believe, what I believe, what I'm sharing with them about our Lord Jesus Christ and about his church. But they look at my body, right? Your kids pay attention to what you do. And sometimes they pay attention to more what you do than what you say. So what do you do with your body? Well, our gestures in prayer, the way that we bring our bodies into prayer, is another way of communicating, again, to God, but also to the people around us, what we believe, what we're doing, who we're speaking to. When we bring our body into our prayer, we're also communicating not just to God and others, but also to ourselves, right? Another part of this whole journey, this journey of prayer, this journey of walking with Christ and getting better at keeping our eyes on him, is just the reality that we are disintegrated beings, right? We are not disintegrated essentially in terms of how God created us, but we are disintegrated because of sin, because of our brokenness, that we are one being, right? Your mind, your will, your spirit, your body, it's all one thing. But because of our brokenness, it's often at odds, those parts are often at odds with each other. You know, my mind is, or I'm looking here, talking to this person, but my mind's thinking about somebody someplace else, and my heart is all over the place in terms of what I love and where my affections, my feelings, my emotions are. We're fragmented people, right? And a large aspect of the journey is simply that as we grow in Christ, as we heal, we become more integrated, less fragmented, more together, more one, more single-minded, as Scripture references. And so bringing our body into prayer is another way to help along that process of reintegration, of becoming one before our Lord. When I pray, certainly I pray with my words. In fact, that might be the easiest way to begin with. You know, it's easy to say something, right? Even say a prayer that's not even my own. I'm just going to recite the Lord's Prayer, right? Start with my words, right? Well, then I also have to bring my mind there. If I'm simply saying the words, but I'm not actually speaking to God, if I'm not actually acknowledging the presence of God, well, I've left out part of my being. So I bring my mind there. Sometimes that's hard. It's hard to bring our scattered minds together to focus on our Lord, who we're praying to. Sometimes the reason that's harder is because we've left our body out of the equation, right? Sometimes it's a real great help to your journey in prayer to think about what you're doing with your body in prayer, right? Where are you sitting or standing? Are you sitting intentionally? Are you kind of at attention? Are you simply just sort of like sitting in the armchair? I've had a long journey in my life of realizing that good prayer does not generally happen when I sit in my lazy boy chair at home. I've got to pull out one of the kitchen chairs that's comfortable, but not too comfortable. And there I can be in the presence of God and I can give him my attention better. So bringing the body into your prayer, again, it helps to communicate to God and to others, but also to yourself what you're doing. You know, it brings you together as one, brings all the aspects of you together as one to be in the presence of God, to worship him, to thank him, to praise him, to ask for forgiveness, to ask intercession, and then to simply be in his presence and let him speak to you, let him work on you. Again, this is a journey. We can learn this 100 times, and the learning is important, but it's more the relearning. It's the practicing. It's the working through the frustrations and the challenges. That's the journey, learning and relearning and practicing all that together. So, but the sign of the cross, once again, is body language to God and to others and to ourselves. And it helps us along this journey of what we believe in our mind proceeding to take residence, to take rest in our heart, for it to be really our whole being that we pray to God. once again, you know, whether you are a lifelong Catholic, mostly lifelong Catholic like me, you know, or you're a convert who learned the sign of the cross later in life, or you're someone who's just now discovering the Catholic Church and this particular practice of making the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, both using your words as well as your body, bringing your whole body into this prayer. Again, let's practice this together, right? Let's make this part of our life. This is an embrace of the kind of universe we live in, the kind of world that God has made, and the kind of beings that we are. We are body and soul. And so prayer is not simply a mental matter. It's not simply a verbal matter. It involves our whole being. And I think you'll find that on that journey of prayer, bringing your body into it can be a great help. And so, we've been given this great gift from the church of this tradition, this devotion of the sacramental, of the sign of the cross. And I think, you may have already learned it, but rediscover it, practice it. Practice it reverently and intentionally. Practice it certainly when you're beginning to pray formally, you know, the Liturgy of the Hours or reading the scriptures or going to Mass, you know, and it's part of the Mass, as you'll see. But find other times to simply practice the presence of God by invoking the holy names in the sign of the cross. That's all I have for you today. Hey, I want you to know that we're praying for you on your journey, wherever you are on that journey. Again, whether you're discovering the Catholic Church, you've been Catholic for a long time, the journey continues. And let's pray for each other that we have the courage, we accept the grace, and we put into practice the grace of taking it one step at a time with our Lord Jesus Christ. If we can be of any assistance to you on your journey, check out chnetwork.org. I'd really recommend that you subscribe to our newsletter. It's a free physical publication. You'll get it in the mail each month. It's got a conversion story. It's got prayer requests, updates from members around the network on their journey, what's going on in their lives, and lots of other helpful things, saint quotes and articles and information about, again, other opportunities through the Coming Home Network to connect with others who are on the journey as well. So again, that's chnetwork.org. This is Deep in Christ. I'm your host, John Mark Grodi. I'll be back with you again soon to talk more about the journey in Jesus Christ. God bless you.